Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this opportunity that we can gather together and we can worship you and study your word. I pray that you touch and minister to our hearts and our lives, that you challenge us by your word today, that we would not leave this place the same way as we came in, but we'd be changed and transformed by the anointing of your word and by the power of your Holy Spirit. God, we just give you free reign to rule in this place in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. 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 Thank you, worship team. Amen. We do save most of our worship for the end of the service. And so you're free to stay and worship with us at the end of the service. We know some like to or have appointments, things to go to. So we try to make an opportunity so that those that want to stay and worship can worship a little more later in the service. But we want to be sure that we get to the word and have everyone hear the word of God. Amen. So anyways, I'm going to start in Psalms 100, and I'm going to talk about Psalms 100 today. Let's read that right now. Make a joyful noise, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever, and his truth endures to all generations. Amen. Amen. That's quite a lot to have to do there. This song of praise for the Lord, faithfulness to his people. This is a song that he is faithful to us. He is in our lives. He moves in our lives. This psalm sets forth a key for a personal spiritual life. Something that we should be doing every day is being thankful to the Lord in everything that we do, in every aspect of our lives. Entering into God's presence by the means of a dramatic praise, which includes singing and gladness and thanksgiving and worship. Now today I'm going to talk about prayer, but so often in our lives we get so excited about so many different things that have nothing to do with God. When our favorite football team scores a touchdown, when the basketball season was called off, when the Sharks score a goal, we go bananas. We're excited. We're excited for those things. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, sometimes I think we should be dignified. Keep it together. Oh, we can't get too excited about that. And then when it comes to prayer, oh man, prayer is always, you know, you ask someone to pray in a public meeting and their voice changes, goes down a few, oh God. Then they start praying in King James or something. Thou art worthy, oh God, you know. And it's like when you talk to them, they talk like they're a rap star or something, you know, and then when they go to pray, oh God, you know, it's like, just talk to God. Talk to him like you would normally talk to anyone. And be excited about certain things. Get excited. And when God does something good, you should get excited about that. When the referee makes a bad call, don't you get it? You start yelling at the TV to support your team. When the enemy does something bad, you should be yelling at the enemy that God's going to get him. Prayer is first of all, an approach to God. Sometimes I think we think that prayer is about a list, like this celestial shopping list that we have to bring to God. Oh, okay, it's time to pray. All right, I have my list out. Okay, and then, because this is what happens. Often people, like, they'll call me and they say, Pastor, would you add me to your prayer list? You know, like, you know, and I'm like, okay, you know, you're on the prayer list. You're on the prayer. Everyone's got this prayer list of needs or wants or desires or things going on, you know, and they're all, and all those things are good, but it's not, but when we come to God in prayer, we shouldn't just come to Him with this laundry list of things that we want Him to do. We should come to Him with thanksgiving and with praise. We come to Him first. We come first to give rather than to take, is the idea, should be the idea behind prayer. We come to Him first to give, not to take. To offer rather than request. You know, we often, when we go to someone, when you go to your wife or your husband, you don't just walk up to them and say, because you usually don't, especially if you're going to ask for something that you're not sure if you're going to get, you don't walk up to them and go, hey, will you give me this? Hey, I give me this. Oh, Bart's back there. You don't just walk up to them and say, give me this. You walk up to them and you say, don't you, man, that outfit looks great on you today, honey. Hey, you butter them up a little bit. You say some nice things to them. You know, don't you look beautiful today there, darling? I was wondering if it'd be okay if I went golfing today. You know, did we have other plans? Like the first thing I was thinking of was that you and I were going to do something today, honey. But if we don't have any plans, then, gosh, I think I'd like to go golfing or something. What do you think? We don't always just walk up there and just, hey, this is what's going on. No, and why do we come to God like that sometimes, though? We just come with demands. God, I want this. God, I want that. God, do this for me. God, do that for me. We don't come to Him with thanksgiving and with praise. And if there's anyone to be thankful for and to have praise for, it would be God, wouldn't it? The psalmist describes the priority of prayer. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. In verse 4, enter His gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. How do you get in the presence of God? You don't get into the presence of God complaining. God, you don't walk, okay, I'm going to enter into God's presence. God, my life is horrible. You enter His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. That's how you get into the presence of God. You want to sense the presence of God in your life? Start being thankful to Him. He might actually show up. I mean, let me ask you this. If someone was rude to you every day, they spoke to you harshly and was rude to you every day, how often would you want to talk to them? You'd try to avoid them. You wouldn't want to talk to them. It'd be like, oh no. I mean, you don't want God saying, oh no. Here they come again. Here comes, not again. Here comes Pastor Tim with more of his stuff. I want him to be excited. Go, hey, Pastor Tim's talking to me today. I'm looking forward to my conversation with Pastor Tim today. I mean, sometimes we look at God as this huge, awesome, incredible individual, which He is. But He's also our friend and our Father. We're also His children, that He wants us to come to Him and speak to Him and talk to Him. But I've said to my kids before when they're talking ugly and they're not being nice, it's like I remember one of my sons especially, he's being rude all the time, and I said, you know, you're 18 now. You'll always be my son and I love you, but we don't have to be friends. I mean, I don't have to want to hang out with you. if you keep treating me like I'm some ugly thing, I don't need to be around you. Because I don't want to be around you. And he looked at me and he goes, what? And I go, look, I mean, you're an adult now. Start acting like one. I mean, if you want people to hang around you, you can't be rude all the time. You can't be nasty to them all the time. You can't say rude things to them. You can't do that. Oh. And he realized what I was trying to tell him, and I think we're friends. I mean, you know, I'm his dad. I'll always be his dad. But I like it when my kids call and talk to me and that kind of thing, just like your Father in heaven likes it when you call and talk to him. But he doesn't want you to call and talk to him and just be nasty all the time. Here's my ugly list. In prayer, we should approach a loving Father with our praise and our thanksgiving. In Revelations, we see a picture of praise and thanksgiving. In worship time, the four living creatures praise the Lord. And in Revelations 4, 9 through 11, it says they fall down before him and worship him, singing, "Worthy art thou, O Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power." To pray with praise and thanksgiving is to acknowledge God's holiness and majesty. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That prayer didn't start out, our Father who doesn't answer prayer, our Father who I haven't seen in a while. It's our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You got to start out praising him. Jesus said, the disciples said, how do I pray? Jesus said, pray this way. The first thing you need to do is begin to praise him. Be thankful to him. Remember, he is Lord. Verse 3 says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. That's us. We are his people. He's created. His whole purpose was to create us to worship and give thanks to him. That's what we should do. A problem of inconsistency in our prayer life can be caused by indecision or mood swings of our emotion. We can be an emotional wreck and not want to pray. Sometimes we don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praying. I don't feel like praying. You get up in the morning and it's your prayer time, or it's in the afternoon, you got some time. Yeah, I don't feel like praying today. I'm not going to pray. If we let our emotions determine our prayer life, we will certainly fail. With the will, we must decide to pray. Your will has to decide that. I will pray today. I'm not going to pray based on emotion. I'm going to pray based on the will, on my own will. Emotion frequently limits or affects the meaning of prayer. But we can still will to praise and thank God. You know, there are times in our lives when things are going on, stresses of the natural life are pouring upon us, the things of this world are coming in around us, the stress, the pressure of the day is around us, and we don't feel like praying. It's not something that we want to do. Our emotions can get involved, and then we begin to pray in such a way that's not worthy of God. That we're not putting any... we can be angry, and so we pray angrily at God. We can be happy, so it can swing both ways. If you're really happy, maybe you feel like praying. If you're really mad, you don't feel like praying. If you're sad, you don't feel like praying. Emotions can affect the way you pray. You can be emotionally involved in a situation. There can be a family situation going on or something going on, and so you begin to pray emotionally, not the will of God for a situation. You begin to pray selfishly because your emotions are involved. But when the will is involved, this is the way I will pray. I will pray according to the word of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, continually Give thanks in all circumstances. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Rejoice always, continually pray, and give thanks in all circumstances. This is not an emotional thing. There is no way, if you allow your emotions to control you, you will not always rejoice. You will not continually pray, okay? And you will not give thanks in every circumstance. If your emotions are in control of your prayer life or your Thanksgiving life, your emotions will not let you do that, because you can be angry, you can be sad. There's a myriad of emotions that you can go through. But if you have determined in your will, you have set your mind on the things of God. You have, like we talked about last week, taken captive every all the things that are against God, the imaginations of your mind, all the things that come against. You've taken every thought captive and submitted it to the things of God. If you have committed yourself to the will of God and to the ways of God, and then you determine that you are going to be thankful because of who He is and not what's going on, that's why you're going to be thankful. Then you can pray, you can rejoice, and you can come in all situations and have thanksgiving. Because listen, I could go around the room right now, and there's plenty of reasons why we might not be thankful right now in this Thanksgiving season. There could be plenty of reasons why we could be not rejoicing, not wanting to pray. God hasn't answered. We may feel like God has not answered one of our prayers for months. But what are we approaching Him with? Why are we coming to Him with? Are we coming to Him with thanksgiving in our heart? With praise in our heart? Are we entering into the courts of God through anger or through thanksgiving and praise? Because that's how you get to the throne room of God. Our will is prompted to praise by various forms of encouragement. Our will is prompted to praise by various forms of encouragement. Remembering God's nature, His creative power, His personal presence, His steadfast love, His abundant mercy will bring praise to our lips. When you're not feeling like praising God, stop thinking about you. Start thinking about Him. I know that we get into situations where we don't feel like worshiping God. I don't feel like worshiping God today. I don't feel like praising Him. I don't feel. But I remember one time we were in Montana. It was my first pastorate. I didn't know much then. Just got in lots of trouble. And we were doing these ecumenical services. Is that what they're called? Yeah, where all the churches get together and do a thing, you know, and do a church service. And so it was a big community service. And so we got together and praise God. It was nice. We went to the Methodist church and we did it the Methodist way, you know. We sang a few hymns out of the book, you know, and which is all good, you know. I'm not finding any fault there. He prayed, although I really wasn't happy with his prayer for this sick guy. I went over to the sick guy afterwards and I said, you know, if you'd like to live, I told a friend of his, I said, go tell him if he'd like to live from this cancer, that I'll come over and pray for him this week if he wants, because the minister actually got up. I'm not kidding you. And he's like, he's kicking dirt on the guy. He's sitting right there. And he's like, Lord, we just thank you for your grace and mercy as you're preparing George to go home with cancer, you know. And I'm like, what? And then he preached, and we were supposed to preach on the senses, you know, our bottle, you know, the five senses, you know, what is that? Seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smell. And he was smell. Okay? So he was talking about growing up as a kid and the smell of the pews, when they'd oil the pews. And so, that was his whole point. And I just thought, wow. And then the Catholic pastor, he was taste. So he described how to make wine. And I'm not kidding. He described how to make wine. That was pretty educational. I was writing stuff down, add a little of this, a little of that. And so I was like, I don't know how to make wine. That's kind of educational. And so, so then we get to our church, okay? Now, everyone's done worship. Everyone's done everything. Then we get to our church, the Assembly of God Church. Well, we're like last, you know? And we've done it the Baptist way. We've done it the Methodist way, the Catholic way. And it was all good. I mean, and I wasn't saying nothing. I was being good. You know, I was trying, and everyone was enjoying it and people were showing up. So our place is packed out. Okay. And so my worship team gets up and they lead worship. And I mean, it just, and and ours was feel. Okay. Ours was feel. So I get up and preach and said, I've been asked to preach on feelings. I said, I'm not moved by my feelings. And I started preaching, you know. The hair in the place, everyone's hair just went straight back, you know. And I'm preaching all Pentecostal and just jumping on the front pew. And the worship service was there. And the pastors got so mad at me. They said, and at the next meeting, they were just so mad. They were like, Tim, it was in the service just before. He's all angrily shaking my hand. There's no way that's how you preach every Sunday. And I go, well, yeah, it is. And he goes, you don't preach like that every Sunday. And I go, yeah, that's how I preach. In fact, I just preached this message because I tried it out on our people the week before. And he goes, and I preach it just like this. And he's like, no, you didn't. I go, yeah, I did. This is what we're like every week. Every week it's just like this. He was so mad. Oh, that Methodist guy was mad at me. And by the way, I went over to that guy's house and we prayed for him and the cancer was just completely gone from his body and he lived. So anyways, hey, thank God. He's the guy, right? And so anyway, so I forgot why I got into that. Where was I? The will, encouragement. Oh, think of, we talk about and think of the great things God's done. See, oftentimes we are moved by our feelings. We are often moved by our feelings to determine whether we're going to pray, whether we're going to worship him, whether we're going to serve him. Our emotions can get the best of us and we can fall down on that. But if we will, just in your own mind, decide that no matter what the situation, no matter what's going on, I am going to find the praiseworthy thing in him. I'm going to go to him and find the praiseworthy thing about him and then begin to discover the greatness of God and who God is and why he is so great. And what will eventually happen to you is you will begin to forget about yourself and get lost in the wonders of God, in the fantastic wonders and power of God. And once you get overwhelmed by that, you will begin to find and begin to worship God. You will find yourself crawling out of the hole that the enemy has placed you in, rising up above the situation of your life. Because the Bible teaches us that we're the head and not the tail, that we go above circumstances. And I often tell you that Jesus said that you're to be elevated above your situations. If your situations are over you, you are in combat, you will lose. The advantage is to be above your situation. In any combat situation, whoever has the higher ground has the best possibility of winning. Because there's a strategical advantage to being above. And that's why God wants you to rise above your situation in him to see so that you can get over situations, okay, and get through situations. Our memory of blessings encourages our praise. There's a lyrics from an old gospel song that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one." I'm sure Dorothy could sing it by heart. It's good advice. Count your blessings one by one. When you start to get down on your own, start writing down the good things God's done for you. Start in the very beginning. Start with, He saved you. You know, there's a story of the 10 lepers that met with Jesus and sought healing for their dreaded disease. They were all cleansed, but only one came back to offer thanks. This one leper then received the full commission of the Lord's faith, or communion with the Lord through faith. See, you cannot, if you get healed by God, if God touches you and heals you, or meets a situation in your life, that's only part of the blessing. If you want the full blessing, you got to go back and thank Him. See, there's only, I mean, listen. God can heal you. God can set you free. God can do all these things in your life. But you will never have the fullness of God until you go back and thank Him. And when you go back and thank Him for what He's done in your life, then you get the full communion with God, because now you're praising Him for the things He's done in your life. Some of us here may only be halfway home. We have only may have received from God and not given back. We need to give back. Go back to Him and thank Him. Don't be a "what have you done for me lately" kind of person. Don't be going to God going, "Oh, I haven't seen you in a while. What have you done for me lately, God?" Be praising Him for the things He has done, for the blessings that are in your life. Because He wants to give you more. He wants to continue to flow in your life and do more for you. Praise is encouraged through the use of God's word. This is one of my favorite things to do. This is probably the weirdness of my own life, but I really like this. The word can become our expression of praise and thanks. Put yourself in the place of the writer. Feel his experiences of deliverance, joy, spiritual blessing. Praise and thanksgiving will erupt. I don't have a problem with this because I'm very visual, okay? And I've talked about this before. I love reading the Bible and the stories in the Bible, because I have no problem becoming King David. I have no problem becoming Paul in my imaginations, or Peter, or John, or any. I have no problem just entering into this 3D movie kind of thing, you know, kind of thing, where I'm experiencing the breaking out of jail. I mean, when Paul and Silas, I think it was Paul and Silas, when they were in jail and the angel came and came before him and then led them out and opened the doors, I'm like, I see the corridors and the dark, gloomy dungeon. I see all that. I see them coming out. I see them knocking on the door and the idiot on the other side going, "Who's there? No, you can't be Paul and Silas because they're still in prison. No, I'm telling you, we're standing right outside your door. Open the door." You know, I see all that. I see how they show up in those things. And how the people, I get excited. I actually feel the waves when Paul is on the ocean, you know, drifting for days. I feel all that. I see it all. And you can too, if you will let your imagination get caught up in the things of God. Now, listen. There are certain things that you need to grab hold of, the Bible says, and not let certain imaginations run wild. You need to take those thoughts captive. But the imagination of God in your life and the things that God has done in His scriptures are things for you to dream about, are things for you to encourage you and strengthen you and see the deliverance of Paul and Silas and John. See the power of God working in their lives. Experience those things for yourselves in the Spirit. Let God begin to erupt those areas of worship in you. Because see, we're not talking about how you feel, but we're talking about the will of your own life to choose to worship God no matter what the circumstances. And to pray no matter what. Because to pray without ceasing, you've got to determine in your life that you're going to pray not based on what's going on, but based on the Word of God and on the delivering power of God. And then finally, the psalmist utilizes joyful songs to praise and give thanks to the Lord. Verse 2 says, "Serve the Lord with gladness and come before His presence with singing." With music, we can praise God from whom all blessings flow. Christ puts a new song in our hearts. Listen, my radio station in my car is usually on 103.9 all the time. And I found those old, I don't like the new earphones, you know, the things that go in your ear. I don't like those. So I can't listen to music. So I haven't listened to music, but I found some at the dollar store the other day that were the old, you know, round little things that you just set on your ears. And those are a lot more comfortable for me, you know. Yeah, people were making fun of me. They were, admittedly. But I was liking it because I have this whole worship mix thing going, you know, and on my phone. And so I was listening to that and playing some golf the other day. And man, I just like listening to worship. When I'm here in the morning, I got 103.9 on all the time. Christmas music, well, oh my goodness. They start on Thanksgiving. The day after Thanksgiving, they start playing Christmas music. And I love Christmas music. I do. I just love it. But a month? Okay. Yeah, it's just a whole month. But I love Christmas songs. All Christmas songs. Anything about Christmas. I love Christmas. Christmas is a great time of the year, man. This is a time when we can be joyful and thankful. And you know what? We're going to have an awesome Christmas. We're going to put a bow on Jeremiah and TJ and stick them under the tree because that's all the gifts we're getting. I might buy underwear for everybody, but because we do need that. But we don't need any socks. My brother supplied a bunch of socks. It's not about gifts. And this is a year right now. And I know a lot of you are going to go through this year. A lot of you, I'm just going to tell you right now. Any of you guys run up your credit cards over Christmas, I'll kick your tail. Do not do that. Do not run up your credit cards over Christmas. No. Just, you know what? Have nothing under the tree. And get together. Come here for Christmas service. We'll have communion together. We'll worship the Lord together on Christmas Day right here. If that's all you can do, then come do that. And if you need to stick around, we'll bring you over to our house for Christmas. There'll be about 40 of us, but we'll get you taken care of. Don't think that you have to have gifts under the tree to make Christmas. The greatest gift is Christ. Okay? And in this economy right now, there are going to be people that are hurting, that don't have enough money for stuff. And I know we don't have enough to be spending hundreds of dollars on Christmas gifts. That, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just telling you, don't be running up your credit cards to try and make Christmas some kind of fantastic thing. It's bad steward of your money. Okay? Make sure, now, if you have enough, then bless your kids a little here and there and your family and bless those that are around you if you can. But don't get crazy. And I think all over this country, people are going to come to realize that it's not about the presents, at least I hope so, that it's about spending time with family, it's about recognizing who this Christmas really is about. It's about Christ, amen? And giving thanks and praise to Him. And you know, we should be doing that every day. And not because we feel like it, but because we have willed ourselves by our own thought process to make it our will to worship God every day. Every day we get up and we worship God. We rejoice, we give thanks, and we pray. Not because we want to, but because He deserves it. Because He deserves our praise. Because He deserves our thanksgiving. And that's the way you enter into the courts of God. That's the way you pray. You pray by giving thanks. First giving and then receiving. Come into prayer thinking, I'm not coming to get, I'm coming to give, God. I'm here to give you something right now because you deserve it. And at the end you can throw in, oh, by the way, because He already knows. But give Him praise. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we just love You and we thank You. We thank You for this opportunity that we can gather together and to worship You and to give You praise. Father, we just want to be a thankful people. We want to, in song and in worship and in our conversations, we want to be thankful. We want to bring You glory in those things. So, Father, continue to work in our lives. Continue to cause our minds, our will, to be focused on You and our attention brought towards the things that we can be thankful of towards You. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, if you'll slip up your hand, we do want to pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity to pray with you about accepting Jesus as your Savior. Amen. Lord, I just pray for everybody in this place. Touch them, be with them this week. Let us be thankful by will, not by our emotions. Let us praise You, not because we feel like it, but because it's Your will to praise You. It's Your will to give thanks to You. Father, encourage us this week to just focus our attention in this month as the season draws near to worship the birth of Your Son, that You would cause our attentions to be drawn upon You and to give thanks and praise to You. We just give You praise and glory, and we thank You for a wonderful, wonderful life that we have in You. That our reward is found in You, God, not in the things of this world, but in You. And God, we just give You praise, we give You glory, we thank You for it. And everyone said, Amen.